Welcome to BICOM's weekly podcast. My name is James Serene. I am delighted to be joined this week by Dr. Asaf Shapira from the Israel Democracy Institute, where we're going to discuss all things related to minority governments, defections, and a potential new law to stop an indicted member of Knesset from forming a government in the future. Asaf, welcome to the podcast. If I could start by just asking you about Orly Levy and what might happen in terms of her potential defection to the Likud.
First, you should know that Orly Levy Abekasis is a different case. Orly Levy is the representative of an official party, Gesher, which is part of an electoral alliance. It formed an electoral alliance in a joint list with Meretz and Labor. There is a faction, there was an electoral list, and now there is a faction in the Knesset called Labor Gesher Meretz. According to the Israeli law, if the representatives of a party within such a joint list or joint faction leaves or defects, it is not defined as a defection at all. The representatives of a party can leave, can split from the faction whenever they want without any sanctions at all. So it is true that Netanyahu can give her the position of a minister, even a senior minister, if she would defect or split actually from the faction and support his government. Now, it is not enough for Netanyahu, because the right-wing bloc has 58 seats in the Knesset out of 120. So Netanyahu needs three Knesset members. Orly Levy Abekasis is only one. He will have 59 Knesset members, which is not enough. Yes? Who will be the additional two Knesset members? So there were rumors that two of blue and white members, Yoaz Hendel and Zvika Hauser, which are quite right-wing people in their ideologies and perceptions, they might split or defect from blue and white and join and support Netanyahu's government.
But the situation with them is slightly different, though, because they are within a faction, and that faction is in blue and white, and it's going to stay. So they have to defect as individuals. So explain what happens to them.
Exactly. Since they are not the representatives of a party like Gesher, there is a party. The party is Telem, within the electoral alliance of blue and white. But the head of Telem is Moshe Bugi Yaelon, and he's not going to split. Mm-hmm. So they are not the representatives of Telem, of a party, and they are not one-third of a faction. Also, one-third of a faction can split without any sanctions. They will split, they will defect, they will be defined as defectors, and they will have to suffer severe sanctions. They won't be able, if they defect, they won't be able to serve in the cabinet as minister or deputy ministers. Moreover, they won't be able to run in the next elections, whenever it will be, in the next elections as representatives or in a list of a party that is represented in the current Knesset, which means that they won't be able to run as representatives of the Likud in the next elections. Very severe sanctions. Yes, but they can do it. I mean, if they want, they can do it. They can split the defect. They can vote in favor of Netanyahu's government and suffer all these sanctions. They can do it. But if you ask me, I don't think that they will do it.
Right.
I'm not sure, and I even don't think that only Levy Abekasis, well, she said that she won't support a minority government headed by Gantz with the participation of the Joint Arab List. This is one thing. Whether or not she will cross the Rubicon and really support, vote in favor Netanyahu's a right-wing, very right-wing government, I'm not sure at all. There is a difference between not supporting a minority government with the participation of the Joint Arab List, whether it is justified or not. There is a difference between such a step in between supporting Netanyahu's government.
Yeah, understood. And just in terms of the some of our listeners who are maybe not fully understanding exactly what's going on, can you talk us through exactly what Blue and White are trying to do? So sort of the outline is, in terms of the numbers, they could put together a minority government and they know that the other side, the kind of pro-Netanyahu bloc, can't get 61 votes to stop them. So that means that they can potentially put together something that's far less than 61 because they know that the other side can't get a majority to block them. So can you talk us through like what they can put together and what the law says about minority governments?
Yeah. In Israel, in order to form a new government, the Knesset must approve the new government. It is called investiture vote. Yeah, like in many democracies, not all of them. But you... it is required only a simple majority or plurality, which means that in order to form a new government, the new government it does not need the support of 61 Knesset members. Yeah. Also, if it has a 59 in favor of the new government and 58 against the new government will be formed. Now, the anti-Bibi bloc, the center and left-wing parties, they have 62 seats in the Knesset, but there are three members of the joint Arab list. They are representative of Balad party. This is the most anti-Zionist or even anti-Israeli party, very national, even nationalistic Arab-Palestinian party. I don't think, and also Gantz and the Israeli media and the political system, don't think that they will support such a minority government. Maybe they will not participate. They will abstain. Yeah. So if they will not participate in the vote, Gantz still have 59 seats against 58, and the new government can be formed. But in such a case, every members of Blue and White and Labor Gesher Meretz should take part in the vote and vote in favor of the new government. So if only Levi Abekasis does not vote in favor of the new government, it has 58 against 58. And of course, there is the case of Zvika Hauser and Yoaz Endel from Blue and White party. So right now, if only Levi Abekasis does not support a minority government, and she said she won't support such a government, Gantz does not have even the option to establish a minority government. Well, of course, also Netanyahu does not have any option to form a government unless he has the support of only Levi Abekasis, Yoaz Endel, and Zvika Hauser. It's difficult to see it happening right now.
What if those people just abstain and don't vote? So if Gantz is able to put together a series of numbers, even if it falls well short of 60, if the pro Netanyahu bloc can't get 61 to kind of block him, what if those other people like Orly Levy and Hendel and Hauser, if they just abstain, is he still able to put that government together?
No, he will not have the numbers. The anti-Gantz bloc, the pro-Bibi bloc, has 58. Gantz has 62. Yeah. So if we take out the three members of Balad and Orly Levy and Yoaz Endel and Zvika Hauser, of course, Gantz does not have the numbers.
Right, okay. So it's a straightforward who has more votes is what you're saying.
Yeah. Simple majority or plurality. Yeah.
Okay, so there's no hope of that. So the next thing that's being talked about, which would be good to hear your thoughts on, is this new idea that to try and break this deadlock, that Blue and White and other parties will support a new piece of legislation that will set out very clearly that a member of Knesset who has been indicted on criminal charges would not be able to be asked to form a government. And it's very clearly being put together to block Bibi Netanyahu from standing in the next election, and because he would go into that election knowing that he would not be able to form a government because his criminal trial starts on the 17th of March. And what I wanted to hear from you is just how exactly that law can be put together, because it's not so straightforward, and there's a few procedural problems, aren't there, on the way in terms of just getting that law onto the Knesset floor once it's put together later this month. So could you talk me through that?
The main obstacle is the fact that Yuli Edelstein from the Likud party is the chairperson of the Knesset. And the chairperson of the Knesset can in fact block or postpone any legislation. So if Yuli Edelstein remains the chairperson of the Knesset, they won't be able to pass such a law. So they first have to replace him as the nominate another chairperson of the Knesset from Blue and White. Meir Cohen from Blue and White, from Yesh Atid, is the most natural candidate for such a position. It is possible because if the president gives the task of forming the new government first to Benny Gantz, Benny Gantz will be like the chairperson of what is called the organizing committee.
Right.
Yeah. Which is responsible for everything that goes on in the Knesset until a government is formed. And then he can advance the replacement of Yuli Edelstein with Meir Cohen from his own party. And Meir Cohen is the chairperson of the Knesset, can advance the legislation of such a law. So it is possible. Yeah, it is possible, especially if the Joint Arab List and Israel Beitenu and the Labor Gesher Meretz and Blue and White, if they all support in such a law can pass. Mm. But first I have to say that from a more normative point of view, I and the Israel Democracy Institute in general, we object such a law. Mm. Yeah, we don't think that such a law should be legislated now. In the future, yeah.
Why do you object to it now?
Because it's a very personal law, personalistic law. It's a law that intends to affect the political status and the chances to be a prime minister of a very specific person, only Benjamin Netanyahu. Law should be general, should set general principles, general ideas, and not it should not be a personal law. Moreover, such a law will change the rules of the game while we are still playing. You don't. It's almost non-constitutional to do it. Mm. You know, to affect the rules of the process of a government formation in Israel while we are during this process. It's almost non-constitutional. So having said that, such a law is a good law, but only a new government will be formed. I have to say another important thing. Mm. Okay, so such a law will be passed, and we will go to fourth round of elections, probably. I mean, I guess that Blue and White hope that Netanyahu will, after such a law is passed, Netanyahu will be replaced within the Likud by another figure of the Likud, Israel Katz or Nir Barkat, but it won't happen. It probably won't happen. The Likud is a very loyal party to Netanyahu, especially if such a specific anti-Netanyahu law is passed. So there will be a fourth round of elections, and if Netanyahu and the right-wing bloc will win a majority, they can abolish the law. Mm. In the same way that such a law will be passed, they will be able to abolish the law, this law, if they have a majority in the Knesset.
But this is the main problem. Yeah.
So it won't really affect, because this law, like any other law, could be abolished.
Yeah. So it's you think it would just end up being messaging. But if we have a similar situation as after this election, then it will obviously be extremely significant. Because it would be... If we have exactly the same result after a fourth election, it will be extremely significant because it will basically mean that Benjamin Netanyahu would have to stand aside.
Yeah, it is true. But if we have the same results, Gantz again won't be able to form a government.
Yeah.
We are in a deadlock. We are in a deadlock, a real political deadlock. That is the result of two circumstances. First, a real political electoral draw between Gantz and Netanyahu. Neither one of them can form a government without the other one.
Yeah.
But we had such an electoral draw in the past after the 1984 elections, and then a unity government was formed between the Labour, then the Labour, now it's Blue and White, and Halikud, based on a rotation. The Shimon Peres was the first the prime minister for 2 years, and then he was replaced by Yitzhak Shamir from the Likud. Why doesn't it happen right now? Because of the personal criminal judicial issues of Netanyahu. Gantz declared that he wants it under Netanyahu while he's being prosecuted. It makes sense. Yeah, it is promised not to sit under Netanyahu while he's being prosecuted. So we have a real deadlock in the. The most natural scenario is indeed the establishment of a unity government, but not with Netanyahu as the head of the Likud, but with another figure, senior figure within the Likud. But it's not going to happen right now because the Likud is so loyal party to Netanyahu. I don't think that such a law or any other law will change the situation. This is a real political deadlock that should be dealt with political decisions or political mechanisms.